Hello, everyone. All right, I'm going to change my name real quick. Do a mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
We have people trickling in. So good. All right, we're 2 minutes away from getting started. I have to say, I was prepping for this, and even I was just like, oh my God, it's going to be fire. So prepare yourselves for some fire this evening. So good. Hi, Janice. Hello, hello. So if you are trickling in the room, we want to hear where you're from, because that's one of my favorite things to do when we first walk in. It also familiarizes you with the lay of the land. To chat amongst your fellow No BS ladies and with the coach on deck tonight, you're going to use the chat box. If you have a question that you want me to answer, and you don't want me to miss it, you're going to put it in the Q&A box. If you want to be coached live, you are going to raise your hand, raise your hand. Okay, here we go. Let's see. We've got Michigan, New York, California, Connecticut, Washington. Hello, hello, hello. Got Texas in the house. So good. So fun, everyone. All right, we're 1 minute to go. Time. So good. So good. Okay. Again, one more time for the folks in the back. If you have a question you don't want me to miss, Q&A box. You want to chat amongst yourselves in the chat box. And then if you want to get coached live, you're going to raise your hand. Hi, everyone. Okay, we are at the top of the hour, so I'm going to get going. If you find a friend who is missing, you might want to text her so that she makes sure she makes it to this last call, because this is the final call of the How to Be a Fucking Lady series. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite words, gumption. You are not just another pretty face. I want all of you ladies to be full of gumption and moxie. See, you know, we were old, you know, 1920s gangsters. It's a great old timey word. I'm going to break it down for you and what that means. We're going to talk about becoming the leading lady in your life. We're going to talk about big, giant, amazing New York sized dreams. I'm going to give you some mindset work as always, some stylish way to look at this, and then give you your glam gal mission and send you off. And then we'll jump into coaching. So here's what I want you to know about gumption. And why gumption, and how does this all fit together in the big scheme of things? Remember, when I decided to write How to Be a Fucking Lady, it was really to turn old school charm school concepts, old etiquette concepts, old beauty and style concepts, and throw some juice on them, modernize them so that they were applicable to all women. All women in all their different intersections of life, whether it's race, whether it's, you know, your role that you play, your socioeconomic status, any number of things, right? Because you are more than just a woman. You happen to play a bunch of different roles in your life. So how do you show up to your life with gumption? Gumption meaning three things. I want you to think of it this way. IDC. Initiative, determination, and courage. Now, it used to be that if a woman displayed any sign of initiative, determination, or courage, she would be labeled a bitch, a nag, or know-it-all. In fact, if you call a woman any of these things these days, it's a little like, how dare you call me that, right? But usually it's in response to a woman showing initiative, determination, or courage. You get called bossy. I remember when I was younger, one of the worst things to be called was a know-it-all. In fact, my mother was so worried that I would have no friends. She would tell me, nobody likes a know-it-all. You're not going to have any friends. Can you just pretend that you don't know the answer? Which I get, right? It's like, she was trying to protect me. Just like all of you probably internalized some sort of message about what it means to be a bitch, bossy, a know-it-all, a nag, fill in the blank word that they use for women. And we take those messages on and we file them away. And then it becomes sort of insidious. Like, we're not actually recognizing that that's still playing, that that record that was queued up when we were younger, that's been reinforced by all these external messages, we're not even aware that it's playing anymore. It's sort of become part of the background noise. And the problem with that is remember, we think, we feel, we do. If this is running in the background of our thoughts, it's going to affect how we feel and therefore how we show up in the world. If you're terrified of someone calling you a bitch or a nag or a know-it-all or bossy, and you feel fear or you feel rejection, you feel shame, you feel embarrassment, it affects how you show up to do your work in the world. During our time together this past month, we have started a beauty revolution. We have started the ripple effect by learning to be stylish as fuck. That beauty and style can come at any size or shape or hair texture or age or skin color. And it started with us in our own brains and cracking it open. And then in our community as No BS Women, and in the No BS community, you can see the lives that were changed. And then in your own household, and then your communities that you're a part of, and so on and so forth. The ripple effect builds upon itself till eventually we have a whole revolution of women who are confident, and confident women change the world. But when we internalize all these messages and that record's playing, what happens oftentimes is we downplay our ideas. We downplay our skill set, our knowledge level. We pretend that we don't know. We pretend that we don't really have a really amazing creative solution. We're afraid to speak up. We start acting like we're the sidekick in the movie. Instead of you being the leading lady, the one who's advancing the plot forward, the one who's writing the story, who's setting the stage with her initiative, her determination, her courage, the one who says, see here, I know how we can figure this out. See here, I know what we can do next. See here, this is the part where we rally. This is where we solve the conundrum. Here's how we're going to do it. We act like the sidekick. We're just sort of along for the ride. We're just along for the ride. We let life happen to us. Even when we have a fantastic idea that really might save the day, that might solve the conundrum, we don't speak up. What I'm inviting all of you to do, and what I'm going to challenge you to do, is start to notice in your own life where you're acting like the sidekick and not the leading lady. The leading lady's full of gumption, initiative, determination, courage. The leading lady decides what the next chapter is going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what she's going to wear. The leading lady owns the rooms that she's a part of. I really, really, really want you to step into this. And for those of you who are really familiar with, like, I love to own the room. I love to speak up. The next challenge I have for all of you is, do you do it without apology, without equivocation, without justification? We talked about being part of the I'm sorry club, right? And apologizing needlessly. That's sidekick energy. Do you joke about how loud you are all the time? Sidekick energy. Do you crack self-deprecating jokes about yourself and your initiative, your determination, and your courage? Do you try to beat people to the punch, cracking jokes about you? So that if you say it first, it sort of takes away the sting of what they're going to say. That's not how it works. That's sidekick energy. Leading lady energy is initiative, determination, and courage in action. From a place of, I'm advancing the plot forward. It's a different way of being. And sometimes we are in sidekick energy, and sometimes we're in leading lady energy, and it's a little fluid. I don't want you to think you have to be living at level 10 all the time, because that might be a little much, right? But if you find yourself sliding into sidekick energy, where you're apologizing for yourself, where you're not speaking up, where you have that burning desire in your heart to say something, and you squash that down, it's some sidekick energy, y'all. If you're letting life happen to you, and you're saying, the whole day was ruined because of a 5-second interaction, sidekick energy. I'm just giving you some examples so you can kind of see how this might be showing up in your life. But here's the place where I see it the most, and really where I want to kind of give you your glam gal gumption mission. Here's the beautiful thing. When you're leading lady energy and you're taking initiative, you're being full of determination, you have courage, you're speaking up, you're advancing the plot forward. You're doing it from a place of this kind of mindset. I get one life. I only get a starring role in one movie. I'm writing the role of a lifetime for myself. This is the big time. And if this is the big time and I'm writing this role of a lifetime for myself, what am I willing to tolerate and what am I no longer willing to accept? Think about it this way too. When we talk about clothing, if your clothing is part of the audition process, your clothing is auditioning for a role in the movie you're creating. Your clothes are auditioning for you. The relationships that you decide to continue, they're auditioning to be a part of your movie. The habits you create are auditioning to be a part of your movie. Some things will fail the audition. Some things will start out as a lead character right alongside you and then serve their purpose during that part of your movie. And then the scene will change and they will no longer serve a purpose. Sometimes we're just going to have to pass. No, thank you. You didn't make the cut. That doesn't mean anything about the other humans, the clothing garments, what we're choosing to say no to. But we have such a strong vision as a leading lady for where we're going, where this plot is advancing, where we're going to, that it becomes almost easier when we have that level of clarity to just say no. And the things we want to say yes to, they're hell yeses, because we have a clear vision, a clear big giant ass dream for this movie, this once in a lifetime role that we are starring in. So many women don't allow themselves to get a clear vision because they don't allow themselves to dream big. They do that apologizing, that equivocating, that over-explaining, that self-deprecating, to kind of squelch down their dream. Oftentimes, a dream never even leaves their heart to get to their mind, to a piece of paper. There's a little spark and then it's squelched down. I'm too old to do that. I'm too young to do that. I don't have the means. I don't have the knowledge. I'm so extra. I'm too much. I'm too loud. I'm bossy. I'm a bitch. I'm a nag, right? I'm too fill in the blank. I'm past this age. I'm past fill in the blank. We squelch the dream down before it even makes it to paper. We can't even plan to execute. We can't even incorporate a whole script and a scene around it, because we never let it get past the little inkling phase. So your glam gal mission, should you choose to accept it, is to write your big ass giant dreams. In fact, I want you to go into the Facebook group and I'm going to start the thread. I want to know what they are. Let's say them out loud to each other. Let's hold the vision for each other. Let's borrow from each other's belief. Maybe you don't believe enough for yourself, but your sister, your fellow no BS woman, maybe she has enough belief that you can borrow and you can sprinkle a little bit on you. You can borrow the belief from your, you know, accountability groups. You can borrow belief from Corinne and the no BS team and the no BS coaches, because let me tell y'all, they love you something fiercely. They have enough belief in you. They believe in you. So even if right now you're in a place where, like, I don't quite believe it's possible, I can't even articulate this little inkling that's on my heart and mind, that is your glam gal mission. I want you to start sharing it. No more apologizing for it, trying to explain it away, trying to, like, justify, well, I will be able to when this XYZ happens. No, what if you just wanted it because you simply wanted it? You know you're allowed, right? You don't have to finish your chores before you're allowed to dream. You don't have to reach this milestone or that milestone, have this amount of money or that amount of money in your bank account. No, you can dream big ass giant dreams. My grandparents came from Puerto Rico to New York with nothing, y'all. Nothing. Jack. My grandpa didn't even finish the second grade. One of his biggest accomplishments in life was that he learned to read. And he saw something, like just a random thing on the back of a box, he would read it to you to prove to you that he could read it. Like, phenomenal what him and my grandmother were able to build together. My family would have collectively have been screwed if they had downplayed any of the inklings that they had along the way. Like, they would have never made it to California. They would have never owned the businesses that they own. They would have never become the people that they became and really created this group of women, all of their daughters, all five of them. And then the ripple effect of those five daughters into all of their daughters, because we have mostly women in my family, and the ripple effect of that and the next generation and the next generation, the next generation. It can be deliciously contagious if you allow it to be. But first, you have to get it out of your heart, out of your mind, say it out loud, put it on a piece of paper. Allow yourself to dream big ass giant dreams. And when you hear that voice in your head say, but, start to write all that shit down. I think sometimes what sort of trips us up is we don't expect that there's going to be any resistance or objection from our brain. We expect it externally, but it doesn't usually come externally. So then we start to do it ourselves. Again, we're trying to beat people to the punch. What I want you to do is expect there's going to be some objections from your brain. Your brain is going to wonder how on earth we're going to get this done. How on earth we're going to make this happen. Of course, we're going to write all those perceived obstacles and objections down and start to strategize for each of them. You've probably heard the adage before, like, hey, I'm going to go to the store. But imagine if every time you were going to go to the store, you hit a red light and you're like, oh, I guess it's not going to happen. Cue the fainting couch. I'm not going to be able to make it to the store today. That's some sidekick bullshit. The sidekick would be like, oh, for comedic relief, right? I saw a red light. If you saw any Abbott and Costello skit, right? It's classic. Oh, I got you to stop. Like, I got the vapors. I can't go any further. Right? What? No, bitch. Wait at the stoplight and then you can proceed forward. Take another route where there are no stoplights. Like, you get to decide, right? We do the same thing with our dreams. Not only do we not even let them out of our mouths, we're like, okay, I don't even want to tell anybody I want to go to the store. What will they think? Like, we don't even let that out. And then even sometimes when we decide we're going to go to the store, we're going to make this happen, we hit a red light and we act brand new. No, not us, no BS women. We're going to plan for that. We're going to plan for all the objections, all the drama, all the fainting couch kind of craziness your brain's going to come up with because it's a human brain, and you're going to start to strategize. You can even be amused by whatever shade your brain throws up. Like, how hilarious is that? Because brains are going to brain. That's what they do. But nothing has gone wrong simply because you hit an obstacle or because another human uttered words in your direction. You have this brilliant human mind with the capability of thinking creatively, problem solving, strategic thinking, critical thinking, creative thinking, initiative, determination, courage. You've got gumption. You just sometimes need to remind your brain of that. So, your Glam Gal mission, should you choose to accept it, again, big ass giant dreams. They should scare the hell out of you a little bit. They should give you a sensation of like excitement and low key, I want to barf. Perfect. That's how you know it's perfect. And then write that shit down because we know those objections going to come. We know they're going to come. Totally normal. And then we strategize. And if you need help strategizing, you're in a community of amazing women. Take it to the other leading ladies who might have some idea about what the next scene could potentially look like, what the next scene could potentially be. How do the heroines solve the day? How do they solve the problem? How do they save the day? What do they do next? We don't know, but you can always get in community and think of another way. So, that is your mission, should you choose to accept it. No small feat today, friends. No small feat. I'm going to be in the Facebook community, so I want to see those big, giant dreams. And know that I'm holding the vision with you, and you can borrow some belief from me. Fucking ladies lead. Starts with you. Okay. I'm going to jump into some Q&A now. Just could not help it. I love y'all so much. Okay. Let's see. When I was little, my mother used to tell me I am long-waisted. I realize now that I'm not proportional. My legs are very short and my torso seems long in comparison. What is the best way to address this type of body? Well, first, let's look at the mindset there. What does it mean to be long-waisted? Because there's a gazillion definitions about that, which lets us know that's a made-up thing. I'm not proportional unless you took your exact measurements. I'm not proportional is a thought. And here's another thing I want to offer you. So is everyone else. As if anyone has, you know, is a seamstress, if you ever talked to a tailor, everybody is not proportional. Very, very rare human that you will find that is perfectly symmetrical and proportional. In fact, most of us have a boob that's bigger than the other, a hip that rises higher than the other, a leg that is longer than the other, an arm that is longer than the other, and one side of your muscles will be a little bit bigger than the other. Nothing has gone wrong here, my friend. Is it useful to you to think I'm not proportional? Because when you think that thought, how do you feel? And then what action do you take from that place? My legs are short and my torso seems long in comparison. Again, unless you had specific measurements, those are just thoughts, and I don't think they're serving you. And instead of asking yourself, is this true? When it comes to body image stuff, that's a terrible question. Instead, I want you to ask yourself, is this helpful? Is this useful? Do I want to keep thinking this? And chances are, no. What is the best way to dress this type of body? However the hell you want, mama. There are no rules unless you want there to be. So I really like, for all of you who have kind of wrapped up in the body image pair, you know, the body shape paradigm of fruit, pears, apples, rectangles, hourglass, fill in the blank. That shit's all made up. You are not fruit. You are a human woman. You are not proportional in a way that it means something's wrong about you. That's the most human thing to be, is not proportional. So when you get dressed now, and if we sort of table for a moment that maybe those aren't helpful, those aren't useful, and they're not thoughts you want to think about yourself anymore, then I want to ask you, if we table that, how do you want to style yourself? What styles are you attracted to? And then find things that are the closest to your size, recognizing that because you, like the rest of the humans, are not proportional, you may need to get some things tailored, but that doesn't mean anything has gone wrong. It's a great, great question. Okay, I think there's some hands raised, so I'm going to go there next. All right, Crystal Sousy, you are up first, my friend. So I'm going to promote you to panelist. There you are. Hi, Crystal. How are you?
Hi, Judith. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So how can I help you?
Well, I was hoping to talk to you during this month and eat all three prior calls. I wasn't able to be live. I had to listen to the recording and I'm like so excited that I got to be here live tonight and talk to you. And you're probably going to say, has this bitch been listening to a word I've been saying?
Well, sometimes you have to hear the information like 8, 12, yeah. 20, 50, 100 times. So no worries. Yeah. What's up?
Right. Well, I'm getting really nervous because I'm just a few days away from starting a new full-time job after being out of work for a good while with all of this COVID stuff and everything else. And of course, one of, you know, high on the list, despite how much I try to work on my thoughts and, you know, I do pretty well, I guess, but it's still there and it's still pretty strong. Just, you know, I'm thinking about, are they going to judge me when they see me about my weight? You know, I interviewed everything that I've done up to this point has been like this. So I feel like, oh my God, they've only seen me from here up. I mean, yeah, you can probably tell by my face that I'm not exactly skinny mini, but I'm just so nervous this coming weekend. I really want to just kind of take a deep breath and go into this with a good mindset, the idea that this is an opportunity for me to just reinvent myself and go into it however I want to. I can be whoever I want to be, but it's just hampered by my worry about how I look, what am I going to wear, what are they going to think, how are they going to judge me, da, 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 da. So.
Okay. So let's start with one. let's pull out this thread a little bit, right? So when we think about the judgments you imagine that they're going to have about you, what are those?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just imagine inside someone going, eeks, you know, that's, I didn't realize we were hiring someone that's overweight. And I guess, you know, because this is primarily a sales job too. So I'm going to be networking a lot and interacting with people a lot and, you know, all these kinds of things. I don't know. Those are my thoughts on what their immediate impression or thoughts might be.
So their immediate impression or thoughts is, eeks, we've hired someone who's overweight.
Yeah.
Okay, well, no. And it, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so ridiculous when I hear it all loud repeated back to me. Oh my gosh. That's okay. That's why you borrow people's brains sometimes.
Yes, yes.
Even just for that moment of, okay, I can see the problem here. So it's okay.
I know. Yeah, it does sound stupid when I say it.
Okay, so we have a new job and we have the thought, other people are going to think, eeks, we hired someone who's overweight. And how do you feel when you think that?
Awful, of course, small, you know, just my confidence feels like it's in the toilet. Yeah. So.
And when we're feeling small, then what happens next in our brain?
Well, it gives me a lot of anxiety.
And they probably start to imagine different scenarios, right? A little bit more imagining of what these people are saying.
Yeah, you know, I've made a lot of progress since I've been in the No BS program. But I keep getting, I keep just, and I'm doing this less, but as this gets closer, it feels like it's bubbling up more. I can't help but compare where I was at this time last year, which was at least 20 pounds less. And I was, you know, in that place where I'm like, I'm there, I've got the momentum, this is the last time I'm doing this. And then kind of spiraled in the fall, and in 6 or so months gained back everything that I had lost, and then some, you know, that typical sort of story.
Okay. So it's good to know, right? So you're feeling small, and of course your brain is like, compare and despair, even to yourself. And then it's imagining all these different scenarios, because you're going to be a salesperson. So now you're making it mean that, oh my gosh, people are really going to see my body. They've only seen me from here up. Like, your brain is like running with this story that you've created, that someone in their mind is going to say, eeks, she's overweight.
Yeah. Even though I don't look at people and, you know, think those thoughts immediately myself, I don't know why. That seems to be my immediate thought, that that's what other people are going to think.
Because it's an old neural pathway for you.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's well-paved. It's got streetlights, cafe stops. Like, your brain is like, oh, we're doing something new? We're going to peek out of the cave? What's an oldie but goodie? Mm-hmm. I know. Let's talk about her weight.
Yeah.
And of course, it's familiar.
Like, yeah,
a very with thorns, and you're like cozying in there.
Mm-hmm.
To clean up that thinking, I want you to think about the fact that that never has actually happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain doesn't know that, actually, by the way. When you play these scenarios in your head, it actually thinks it's occurred or is occurring.
Right.
What do we know to be true? We're starting a new job.
Well, I guess this is actually an ideal scenario, because there are a few people from this company that I worked closely with in my last job, and they pursued me, they approached me. And that's a refreshing change, and it makes it feel like going into this, it's going to be a lot better than maybe some potential other job that may have come through. This is like kind of an ideal scenario.
Okay, look how beautiful that was, that your brain just offered that up. We got to the fact versus the story, and your brain was like, and also here are some other facts.
Yeah.
They pursued me. I've already actually met some of these people, so my body is not a surprise to them.
Yep. Right.
Right? They're not going to be like, oh my God, a monster walked in, right? Like, no, they already know what you look like, woman. They've already met you.
Yeah.
But that wasn't available when you get stuck in the story and the over-rumination, because your brain, again, it believes it's happening. So the best counterbalance for you is, what do we actually know? We're starting a job. And I know X person and Y person, and they pursued me. Bringing it back down to the facts. And then you get to decide what you want to make of the facts. The real facts, not the story.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe like a newspaper reporter. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
Yep. Right. So any tips on how to make sure I can go into this Monday with the right frame of mind and keep those old shitties at bay?
Yeah. So counteracting old shitties with actual facts is huge. Yeah. Number one. So it's going to be the first tool in your arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second thing I want you to ask yourself, and to kind of free thought download on it, is, if I want to walk into this confident, what am I going to need to think?
Mm-hmm. I got this.
Right? This is your jam.
Yeah.
I've done this before. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I know I can do it. And honestly, they were way more excited about me than I was about them initially.
Boom. That's a So okay, that's some straight up.
I had to like come
energy.
Around.
That's such leading lady energy, right? Like you pursued me way more than I pursued you, right? You were way more interested than I was. Like that's some boss ass energy right there, right? So like just own that. Like if I was the leading lady and this is a movie I'm writing, how do I want to stroll into that office? What do I want to be thinking about?
Yeah. Because I have a long drive to get there on Monday. So I want to kind of have, you know, that soundtrack playing as I drive there. So when I get out of the car and walk through the door, I've kind of laid that groundwork.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Get into the role, get into the character. Sometimes we have to get a little like Rosalind Russell kind of like energy, right? Or pick your Hollywood starlet, you know, from yesteryear. Like, maybe Katherine Hepburn, a little sass, a little spice, right? Super intelligence, very witty. Like, step into the role a little bit. Like, yeah. Crystal, the badass, leading lady of our movie, who is pursued, right? You can tell the story, everyone. You were hotly pursued. It was for months. There were email exchanges. There were interviews. And I was not that interested, but you know, they kept pursuing.
They wooed me.
They wooed me. At the end, I just, you know, I had to put them out of their misery. I had to tell them, you know.
I like that.
Okay. So go like, even play this recording if you need to.
Yeah. And, like, oh, I totally will.
Over and over again. If you just did like 10 seconds over and over. And like tell seriously dramatic retelling, right?
Yeah.
Hotly pursued. It was months. I put them out of their misery. What can I say? Right? Like, just get into it. Own it. Really, like even if it feels a little silly. By the time you walk in, you'll get the pared down version, but allow yourself to just enjoy that on your drive in.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Or if you have to go to the bathroom and get into character a little bit in the bathroom stall, remind yourself. Okay.
Yep.
All right. You got this.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I've enjoyed the hell out of you this month. So
likewise, I've loved being here with you all. So I want to hear how it goes in the Facebook group. We'll all dive right. to know. Okay.
Will do.
All right. I'm going
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm going to put you back to a participant. Let's see. There we go. All right. Let's see. Next up is going to be Katie Graber. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing your name. Hello, Katie. How you doing?
Sorry, just starting video. I'm good. How are you, Judith? Thank you so much for an amazing month.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I just
my pleasure.
Australian Accountability Group. Like, there's an OBS call live. You have to get this one. This has been the most amazing series. I have been asking questions along the way, but I've finally put my hand up. So I have this thought with work and the over-explaining, the hesitant, like when you're pitching in conversation, what you've been saying recently has really resonated with me. So I have a bunch of people that I work with. About five of us all got pregnant the second time and all had babies the second time. And we were all sort of in various leadership roles before we went on mat leave. At our 20-week scan with our second child, we found out the child had significant abnormalities, and we had to, you know, make decisions around whether to continue the pregnancy or not, do invasive testing. It was a very challenging time. And sort of from that moment onwards until she was born, I basically needed to step back from work and go like part-time work from home. We had to have scans like for 18 weeks. It was a very stressful sort of time. And then when my daughter was born, I needed to take extended leave because she needed multiple surgeries. And when I did come back eventually, I came back later than everyone else, and I had to come back in much more of a reduced capacity due to her ongoing needs. And while that was happening, the other guys came back, they moved into sort of more senior roles since having their second kids, and I sort of had to take a bit of a step back. And not only that, they also lost all their baby weight, and I'm close, but I haven't. And so the outcome of it is when I sit in these meetings with these guys and pitching ideas, because I'm an initiative lead, I find myself just getting really hesitant, tongue-tied, and over explaining my point, because I feel like they're more successful than me because, like, they lost the baby weight, but also they've been able to move their career forward since having their second child, and mine sort of had to sit on the bench because I can only work part-time at the moment. And it just comes out when I'm delivering initiatives really long-winded, over-explaining, repeating, and I just want to move beyond that hesitant okay. delivery.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you, I mean, they're more successful than me because they lost the baby weight. What else, what other thoughts are rolling around in there?
The feeling is that I feel like they're, because they've got more time to do more, like they're able to work full time and I can't at the moment due to the ongoing therapy needs of my daughter, they're able to move their career more and I feel stuck. I do want to move my career more, but I can't give more than 4 days right now, logistically. And so it's like, well, you could do more, but you know, you're part time, which is often the feedback that I get.
Okay. So think about, you're in a meeting with your colleagues. And how many people have come back from mat leave, just so we're clear and specific?
So 5 of us all got pregnant with our second kids at the same time. 2 have since left in the last few weeks and got promotions somewhere else. And then the other 2, 1 has remained the same and the other one's had like 3 promotions since. And our kids are now turning 3 in December.
I just want you to notice you have a running tally of everybody's accomplishments.
Yeah.
As you perceive them.
Yeah.
How's that serving you?
It's not, because, you know, my boss says that when I deal with external stakeholders, like quite senior, like CEOs, COOs, that my delivery is amazing. And then I go talk to these guys that I've worked with for 7 years who I don't report to and just like squeak like a mouse.
Yeah. Because you have this.
I don't understand what's going on. Like, what is going on? Like, I trust you in front of really senior external people. And then you go to talk to these guys who you know and you just ramble.
Yeah.
So
let's look at that. Like, we think about think, feel, do. If we put rambling over explanation
yeah.
in your action line, what feeling is driving all of that?
I just feel like they don't take me seriously as much as the other guys, because the other guys came back full time and I didn't.
Okay. But we actually don't have any evidence of that.
No,
we don't. It's just a judgment you have of yourself.
Okay.
So think about, like, let's play out the think, feel, do. They came back full time and I didn't. How do you feel when you think that?
Yeah, it makes me feel bad because I just can't be in 2 places at once. And I know my priority is right, but then I still feel bad about that thought.
Right. So when we say bad, can we give like another name to that set of emotions or sensations?
The main thing I feel most of the time is I just feel really conflicted.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling conflicted,
yeah. Right,
like how are you, like, of course you ramble and you probably over repeat and over explain.
Yeah.
Because your brain is literally in 2 places during that meeting.
Yeah.
You have the secret Olympics of your office, gold medal running tally over here, thoughts about your daughter over here, and you're not focused on the people in front of you at all. You're just trying to see how you measure up on the scoreboard while also trying to remind yourself, no, we made a good decision. We made a good decision. We have our daughter.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course, right? When you're in front of stakeholders, the Olympics, the office Olympics, that goes away because we're in front of stakeholders. Yep. And we know we love our daughter, so that's not even at issue.
No.
We focus on the people in front of us.
Yeah.
So you have that meta skill. What's got to turn off is that gold Olympics of your office, the gold medal tally.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So let me ask you this. Why are you choosing to compare yourself to your male colleagues?
I'm not. These are my female colleagues. Okay. And the conversations are like, well, you know, we know you can do so much more and you would be doing a more senior role, like if you weren't part-time, but we all understand why you are. And it's sort of like, yeah, so they're the conversations that I had with those female people who were my peers that are now in more senior leadership roles.
Okay.
So it makes you feel like it, you know, this isn't just running in my head. These are the conversations that are being had.
Like, here's the thing. When we get humans uttering words in our direction,
yeah,
we filter out what we want to support our own negative shit, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So if you already have a bias towards comparing yourself to them, they came back full time, I came back part time. Even when they say the words to you, but we get why, we understand, your brain is like, fuck you guys. I'm not worried. I should be. I should be in a more senior role. But for this thing happening, I should be in a more senior role.
Yeah.
But the thing did happen.
Yeah.
So we can have grace for yourself about that, or you can use it to beat yourself over the head.
Yeah.
What's coming up for you?
I mean, I've been thinking about trying to find a job share where I could do a more senior role, but then have someone else in like the other 1 to 2 days a week. So I could do more like while I'm there, but then have someone to, you know, back me when I'm not there.
I want to pause you. Love how you jumped right into your do line and just crossed right over your thoughts and your feelings.
Yeah, that probably happened. I think generally sort of feel a bit like I feel a bit lost. Like I sort of feel like I'm in two camps all the time.
Yeah. That's where that conflicted feeling's coming from.
Yeah.
Because the way you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
There's only one camp. There's only one you.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
So before you decide to take any action, because if you're conflicted now and you're like comparing yourself to your colleagues while also trying to justify the decision you made for your daughter, and you're doing that in the meetings with your colleagues, that's not going to change because you decided to change up how you do your work share.
Yeah. I think probably I need to maybe do some journaling on trying to make that decision an empowered decision as opposed to like one I was forced to make.
Right. And what I want to offer you is, what if we don't have to make any decisions right now? We just need to look at what we're thinking, how we're feeling,
yeah,
and how we're showing up as a result.
Yeah.
And stay in that thought line. Stay in that feeling line. When your brain starts to problem solve and is like, here's what we're going to do so we're less uncomfortable. Yay, brain, come back, my friend. What are we thinking? What are we feeling? Because that's where the power is. That informs what we do next.
Yeah, I'll do some journaling on that. I feel like I'm giving my thoughts like all the power, and then the meetings aren't going as well as I want, and then I beat myself up for it and I'm still doing that.
Yeah, because instead of just like listening to your brain like, oh, noted, you're agreeing with everything your brain says. You're like, oh yeah, I should be in a senior role. I should be full-time. I shouldn't have had to take as much time as I did. I'll never catch up, or whatever your brain's coming up with, right? So just notice, like, you don't have to agree with everything your brain tells you.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
And for those of you in the chat box, here's what I want to say. We can give her all the advice in the world about how to show up for her presentations. That's not going to solve the issue for her, because she's feeling conflicted because she's having a thought. So that's where her first work lies. Before she ever decides to change how she approaches her meetings with her colleagues, she first has to change how she's thinking about them and feeling while she's in them. And that will naturally change what steps she takes next. So when you go into the chat box, you're going to get a world of advice from your well-meaning, no BS lady. And I can see your eyes going there. And I love you all, because I think you're just so good for loving on each other. But our friend here needs to focus on her thoughts and feelings and clean that up first before she takes a different set of actions.
Yeah, I'm going to, after this, I'm going to journal on a comment my boss made to me, the last promotion that another one of those girls got, which was, it should have been you, you're more capable, but you're part-time. I'll probably journal on that and try and put that to bed, because it just hits me whenever we go to these meetings that they're like, it should have been you, but sorry, that's not serving me to keep ruminating on that thought.
Because it was a little soft spot in your heart and mind already. Yeah. So as soon as those words got digested by you, instead of you being like, oh, okay, good to know, your brain was like, oh yeah, see, here's more evidence. It supports what I already think to be true. And the other thing is, definitely take this to like ask a coach, get some more coaching there, because I think that might be really, really good to just follow up after our call, maybe listen to it again, but to follow up there with one of the No BS coaches.
Awesome. Thank you so much,
Judith. You're so really welcome. Thank you for getting on a call today.
Love getting on calls. It's the highlight of my week.
Good, good, good. All right. Thanks, Mama. See you later.
Take care.
Okay. Saphir, you are up next. Let's see if it's going to promote you. It's taking a second. Try again. Okay, sometimes Zoom is slow. So while we're waiting for Saphir to come on, okay, my customers appreciate my innovation, determination, and courage. My employees, however, hate me for it. How can I translate my drive into being a boss whose employees work hard because they love her? Okay, my friend, we can't control whether your employees love you or not. And do we really know that they hate you? Or is this your thoughts about something that someone has said or hasn't said? So I want you to really unpack this. My employees, however, hate me for it. Fact or story? Your drive into like to like innovate, be full of determination and courage is separate and apart from your leadership role sometimes. And this is just for all lady leaders. I want to offer you this. The role you play when you're forward facing and client facing is a little different than the role when you play when you're employee facing. The connection between the two is the shared values and mission of whatever organization you belong to. But sometimes we're so overly focused on forward facing that we forget it takes a team to create whatever gets in front of the client. So when we're off balanced a little bit and we're so forward focused that we forget to focus on the team that's helping us to create, there's a little bit of tension there. Because again, remember, there's four parts to every conversation. What we say, what we mean, what they heard, and what they make it mean, right? So you could be saying all this stuff and you're like, initiative, determination, courage. All right, and you're like super excited. How is your team translating that? Have we asked them? Do we know what actual words that are going across their mind are? Because that might be why it feels a little lopsided, where forward facing, you're like, clients love it, team members hate it. Well, if team members hate it, something's getting lost in translation. There's a communication fall apart disconnect here in the four parts of the communication. You need to go map that out. Talk to your team members. Ask them, what are they hearing? What are they making it mean? And rejigger from there. Right now, it's a little bit of supposition. They hate me for it. Unless someone actually used those words, we don't know. If you want to be a boss whose employees work hard because they love you, I want you to check that motivation, my friend. Why are they required to love you in order to do their jobs? Like, really evaluate that. What's driving that thought in you? What are you hoping to feel if they loved you? There's a little bit of unpacking that needs to be done there. And for whatever reason, Zoom would not let me promote you to a panelist. So Saphir, I hope that answers your question, because I saw that there in the Q&A box. I'm not sure what's up with Zoom. My apologies, y'all. What is the best way to dress a body that has smaller boobs and a larger belly? I'm an RN in a busy private oncology office and like to look professional but stylish. Okay, so how do you want to dress? I know, I say this to you a lot and you're like, but give me the rules. Like, give me all the rules and I want to offer you. There are no rules. So what are you most comfortable in? Now, are you worried about the fact that you have a little bit of a larger belly? Like, what are your thoughts about your belly? And is that impeding the way you're choosing to get dressed? Are you trying to hide it? If you think you have smaller boobs, what's your relationship like with your breasts? Is it a good one? Is it solid? And then are you getting dressed from that place? So I really want you to kind of consider, like, what's the best way to dress your body? However the hell you want. What's the best way to dress your body? The best way to adopt your own style? Remember, style belongs in the F line. It's the thoughts you're thinking about yourself first. A feeling state that you want to adopt, stylish, confident, insert the blank. And then the action line, when we take action, then we can decide how we want to dress. Once we've addressed the thoughts and feelings we're having about our body and ourselves first. So that would be my question to you. What are you thinking? What are you feeling about your body? How do you want to get dressed? What do you want to wear? And then pick your clothes from that place. Now, if you need something a little more specific, I want to offer you that sometimes with a smaller chest and a larger belly, we just want to make sure that you're wearing shirts and pants that accommodate a larger belly if that's where you happen to carry your weight. So you want to get pants that maybe have some like hidden elastic. Bowden is a good option. I know I keep recommending them. They have a flat front, no pleats on some of their pants, and a hidden elastic waistband in the back, so you can create a little bit more room. You can find pants that look like work pants, but are in fact yoga pants. There's tons of options out there that are like that. You can also get tops that float away from the bottom half of your body and are a little more snug on the top. So the shape would be a little bit like this, and then it would flow out and away from your body. So those would be some options in terms of style, like shapes to look for, but not because we want to mask anything or anything's wrong with your body. It just might be more comfy for your tummy. Okay. Ms. J, how do personal shoppers work? I believe they have them at department stores. Totally. A lot of high-end department stores have personal shoppers. It's always fun to go ask if they have that option. I remember when I worked at Donna Karan, I did personal shopping for the Donna Karan brand, and it was a ton of fun. I was a maniac. I had other people's credit cards, and it was just a good, good time. So it depends on where you go. If you go to like a Nordstrom, typically you have to make an appointment in advance. If you're shopping really high end, like at a designer store, again, you just want to make sure there's someone available on the floor that you, the day you plan to go in, who can assist you with personal shopping. Sometimes it's commission based. Sometimes they don't make anything. It's just part of the service of where they're at. So you can check out Nordstrom. I know Neiman and Marcus, Bloomingdale's, like all these different types of options for you that do have personal shoppers. You just want to call and make arrangements in advance. So we're not taking someone off the floor who's meant to be walking the floor, who's going to end up assisting you. That would be what I would say. But yeah, have fun with it. Y'all, don't be afraid to ask. I think some people get shy and they're like, well, I don't have a whole lot of money to spend and I don't want to bug these people. No, that's their job. In fact, I was like super broke in college. And one of my favorite things was to spend other people's money for them. Like I live vicariously through all these fabulous, amazing women that I got to meet because I got to use their credit card to sort of live out my fantasies and dress them gorgeously. So don't be afraid to ask. Seriously, like be brave, chickadee. You're the leading lady. If you need a costumer for your movie, don't be afraid to ask. So good. Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. I think we have time for like one more. Okay. Oh, how often and for what kind of things do you spend money on alterations? What do people do? So typically, it depends on what item you've probably spent the most on and the item that you're going to get the most wear out of. Now, I don't typically get my t-shirts altered. That seems a little crazy to me. I also sweat a lot, so they get ruined fairly quickly and they get rotated out as pretty quick as they get rotated in. So I'm okay with that. I'm not going to spend money there. But I will spend money on tailoring my suit jackets. Typically, I need just a little bit more room so that I can close the gap because my breasts are so large, which typically means I have to size up. And I'm not that tall, so the sleeves have to be taken up a few inches. I'm going to spend my money there because I'm going to wear the hell out of this thing. And I usually spend a little more money on my blazers. For my dresses, I self-alter them. But that's another place. I wear dresses often. I love wearing dresses, even just around the house. So I will take the time, if not spend the money, to do those alterations. So for all of you, think about the highest ticket item that you own that you want to get a ton of wear out of. That's where you want to spend your alteration dollars. Now, in terms of alterations, Nordstrom has a great option. You just speak to whoever's on hand there. Typically, they don't care if the items are not purchased at Nordstrom. And if they do care about that, you can talk to whoever the tailor on hand is, see if they have their own private business card, and you can get your stuff tailored to there. Also, your local dry cleaner typically has someone who can do very, very basic alterations. And if they don't feel comfortable doing it, chances are they know someone who does. So don't be afraid to waltz in there. The price ranges vary depending on what state you're in, what you're getting altered. So again, don't be afraid to simply ask. Such good questions, y'all. Okay. Do you support the slow fashion movement? Any sustainable, inclusive brands you'd recommend who fall into this category? Yes, I do support the slow fashion movement in a few ways. Number one, I'm a huge fan of recycling your old clothes if you're not going to donate them. H&M has a great clothing recycle program. You can just take the clothes there and drop them off. Some participating Nordstrom's also had a clothing recycle program where you could go drop the clothes off for recycling, fabric scraps included. So that's a great way to participate in slow fashion. Another way to participate in slow fashion is learning to sew your own clothes. There's a benefit to understanding the amount of labor that goes into creating a simple t-shirt or a pair of pajama pants. When you get an understanding of that, when you go to a retailer and they're telling you it costs $8 to make a t-shirt and it took you 3 to 4 hours to make your own, you get an understanding of what the factory workers might be going through. And that's a way to sort of start to understand why it's not so great to be part of a fast fashion cycle and to opt out of that so that you're not participating in depressed wages for workers overseas. Last, there are tons of brands that are involved in the slow fashion movement. To give you a list here in the time that we're running out would take forever, but a simple Google search will probably suffice for you. And then also put slow fashion movement into hashtag on Instagram or just slow fashion, and a ton of amazing brands will pop up for you. So that would be where I would direct you to. And then you could find what brands fit your aesthetic, but also meet your standard for slow fashion. Okay, y'all, that is a wrap. This has been amazing. I just have loved spending time with you all. Remember, I have given you Glam Gal missions throughout. So even if you're team replay, we want to hear from you. We want to know what you've created, what you've done, where you've up-leveled, what you will be doing. Remember, at the heart of all of this is the ripple effect. When you start to love you and show up as you, unapologetic, without having to over-explain or justify, and you move from sidekick energy into leading lady energy, and you show up with gumption, initiative, determination, courage, you will affect an amazing change in the world. We need your big giant dreams, all of us. And remember, you can't hold the vision for yourself. You can borrow some belief from me and from other people. All right, y'all, so much love. Mwah! I shall see you all on the Facebook group. Miss J out.